High Strangeness tonight, Mysteries with Jay Widener. And we'll be back with Jay in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, Jay Widener, our guest tonight. Jay, let's talk about the Denver airport. What do we know about this strange place, strange murals especially? You were on with me in June of 2007, and we were talking a little bit about these murals. Has anything changed yet?
Well, we certainly caused a stir with that show, I'll say that. The magazine from Denver Westworld, Gate Westward, called me up after I was on your show, and I believe they even mentioned the show in the article and did a huge, huge, like 12-page spread on the entire Denver airport and did the only really known reportage of the whole mystery by a major publication to date. So something got achieved, and that was interesting. I received about 300 emails from people in the Denver area after that show, telling me about their experiences with the underground base that's purported to be there and all sorts of weird and strange things. But basically, the airport appears to be some kind of machination of the government program called COG, Continuity of Government. And basically, it looks like it's a place where the elite can land, and they take trains into the underground the Rockies, and they can withstand nuclear war and all sorts of things that could go on, and maybe something, anything. So it looks like that's really the purpose of Denver Airport. And they have these strange murals, and they have a plaque dedicated to the Freemasons, and they have it in the Great Hall, it's called, which is exactly what the Freemasons call their hall. And the commission that commissioned the airport was called the New World Commission. And everybody who was part of this, you know, rose to dizzying heights in the political world, whether it be Pena, who was the mayor, became the Secretary of Transportation under Clinton. And it just goes on and on. And you get to these murals, and they're just the weirdest thing you've ever seen in any airport possible. And we explore them thoroughly in our film 2012, The Odyssey. Even though I did it in Time Wave 2013, and we actually got in there and filmed a lot of this stuff. And it's weird. You get into the details of the drawings, and it's just quite amazing. And it's really telling you a story. It's like it's about this choice. It's about this. They're like saying there's a choice. Mm-hmm. One of the choices is a world of peace where we're pounding our swords into plowshares, which is depicted on one of the murals. Oh, and there's another mural with all the children of the world around a psychedelic cactus, and all together, all the children. And then there's another one. Then there's two where things get really dark. One is three people, two children, and a woman laying in coffins surrounded by burning woods and all the extinct animals. Like saying that we're the same. These people in the coffins are the same as the extinct animals, the Quetzal bird and the other animals that are pictured in the thing. And across the way, you come to the infamous and hideous Gestapo stormtrooper with the gas mask knifing the bird of peace.
One's weird. That one's strange.
Yeah, and so it's like, you know, here's your choice, and your choice is this world, a world of almost like Terminator nightmare, and another world of love and peace. And again, you have to wonder. It's not completely malevolent, and it's not completely benevolent. We don't know what to make of it. It looks horrible, and like they're planning on something, and they're doing it. But at the same time, why would they warn us if they were not doing something at least as a favor to us? So my mind isn't made up. I don't know who's doing which, if it's the roosters or the owls, but it could be just the roosters trying to wake us up. And they're doing it with symbols, and we walk by it, and we see it, and then we notice it. We put it together. And now, because of the Internet, we're comparing all these things at rapid pace, and we're comparing notes and making films and writing books and appearing on radio shows and having websites, and now suddenly everything is gelling. There's this, like, one kind of thing. And all of these thoughts and religions and cultures and sciences are really pointing towards this one thing. And these secret societies are seem to be leading us almost in some ways towards this undeniable reality. And when we get there, we're either going to get there or we're, you know, going to kill ourselves. That's what they seem to be saying. So I'm not sure what to make of it all. I know the conspiracy theorists are going to be totally disappointed. And I'm not saying it's, you know, the Illuminati. But I question, why would the Illuminati, you know, do this in front of everything, to everybody, and tell us about it? And I think it's really more of a real fear that we're on the precipice and we're at a crossroads. And I call it the greatest catastrophe and greatest crisis in human history. And that's what we face right now. And it's in every direction. And the Mayan calendar pinpointed it. And I think it's, you know, it's going to become climate changing. It's about climate changing and possibly even an ice age coming if we're not careful. And a lot of other things. And I think it's just a periodic thing that happens. And unfortunately, at this moment in time, there's 6 billion people on the planet, and that usually had not been the case before, at least as far as we know. And so now we're facing this crisis, and our leadership, you know, until now at least, has been completely absent from the job.
When do you think, Jay, that the plans were made for the Denver airport for the big purpose?
I think they were actually made. The plan actually began to go into effect in the 70s after the oil crisis brought on by the by OPEC, when oil prices skyrocketed. I believe that the powers that be looked at the oil situation and realized that, in fact, the oil shortage was actually only hurting the developed countries. The underdeveloped and less developed countries were not really hurt by the higher oil prices because they were farming old ways. They were doing things in the old style. They really weren't using a lot of oil. And so the countries that were hurt were the developed countries, and they realized that, in fact, the developed world would be the first to collapse if there was ever a real, true oil shortage. And I think that they began developing and addicting the world to oil. And with the idea that if anything got dicey or the population got out of control, all they'd have to do is raise the prices of oil and cut the infrastructure out from under us, and everything would collapse. And dang, if it doesn't look like this could happen at any moment. So, you know, we have to start thinking about, do we want to be directed like cows to the slaughter, or do we want to think our way out of the situation and create a world where maybe we're not so dependent on oil, and then if the infrastructure is kicked out from under us, it really doesn't matter. And I think that's the choice we have to make, and it's going to become a very serious choice. And so I'm really working towards that kind of thing, kind of doing an end run. If there isn't a conspiracy and we're really running out of oil and it's just a natural thing, then so be it that way too. I don't know. I can't tell you. But it looked to me like something started going into effect in the mid-70s. And it's just about the same time that the Trilateral Commission was formed and a lot of other things. And I might add that the guy who started the Trilateral Commission is Obama's major foreign, you know,
Mr. Brzezinski?
Yes. And, you know, and he's very much into population control. So is George Soros, by the way. And a lot of the people in the Democrat Party are funding population control efforts. And so, you know, I don't know what's going to happen next. And I think it's going to be interesting to watch the events unfold. Are they really going to, start reducing things? Are we going to go into some kind of chaos? It looks like they're choosing that path.
Yeah.
That would be very unfortunate for all of us. I really, truly believe that. And we have a choice, though. You know, if they decide to just let us go and fall into chaos thinking that we're going to kill each other, then why don't we just fool them and not kill each other and find a way to live? And that's really what I'm after now. I've looked at the darkness of the conspiracy. Dave Icke is a great friend of mine, and we just produced his newest film. And he's I know what he says, and he's absolutely right. But how do we, you know, you can sit there and dwell on the negative forever, but what can you do that can actually solve the problems and not depend on messiahs and governments and leaders, so to say, to be achieved. Because what's the point of that? If we continue just waiting around for someone to save us, anyone to save us, aliens, anyone, we're going to fail here. And that's really my big concern, is making sure that people understand that they have the power to do anything they want. And they can save themselves, they can save their communities, and they don't have to let this disaster come, planned or not planned. And it is coming. And I think when we get out the other end in 2012, if we make the right choices now, we're going to be in a much, much better world. But I think things are going to be really nasty. You know, I was on your show a year or so, year and a half ago, and I said that, and I got a lot of emails criticizing me for being a pessimist, but pretty much everything that I said has happened. I said everything was going to collapse, and this is still the good times. The derivatives crisis hits, and a lot of these other things that are waiting to go off like time bombs. And they know this, and they're worried about it. And so we have to think about that. That's why we make films and things. We're trying to educate people into a different way of looking at things and viewing it and knowing then that everything that happens from here on in is our choice, and we don't have to let any of this happen to us unless we sit back and act and don't act and then let them run over us, and then we may be in a chaotic situation for which none of us want to be. And this is beginning to happen all, by the way, in Europe. There's many riots all over Europe right now. Iceland, Placid Iceland, is beginning to fall apart. Greece fell apart a few months ago. And Spain is beginning to fall apart. We're beginning to see some very, very odd things going on, and I'm not sure anyone knows how to respond to it. The systems have gotten so complex that no one can figure them out anymore. And that's why I'm not sure there is a conspiracy anymore. I just think it may be total and complete confusion. I don't even think that the managers of the car companies actually can understand everything about their companies any longer.
No, I don't think so. Jay, with regards to the Denver airport, what do you believe is built underground? Because I had a report, and we talked a little bit about this a year and a half ago. A friend of mine has a sister who worked at that airport. She would see military soldiers go down hallways that kind of went down and never come back up.
Yeah, indeed. What is there? On the largest scale of speculation, and with some background of knowledge, it looks to me that it's either an entrance to a gigantic tunnel system that seems to run underneath the American Southwest and has some going up into the Northwest and into the Midwest. That has been either there for a long, long time and it's been refurbished, or it's actually been cut by someone in the last 30 or 40 years, or a combination of both, or it's just a place to escape quickly by going into the Rocky Mountains. I've heard so many different stories that I'm not sure what to say, but it looks like there's a bunch of interconnecting tunnels underneath the entire Southwest. There is that. There's no doubt that there's the tunnels.
They're there,
interconnecting,
yeah.
And are they leading all the way up to Denver and down into Albuquerque? And, you know, my feeling is, yeah, they are. It's an escape hatch. It's an archaeological dig, maybe, for something that we don't know about. All these things are probably what's going on. It's very strange. And it's connected to a lot of the other things that are going on, a lot of the stuff that Hoagland is looking at with the moon and Mars. And there's like this secret something that's right underneath us, and it's the UFOs, and it's, and our government doesn't want us to know about whatever it is, or it's our government. It's one of the two. And we just don't know what and who. And these tunnels are part of it. And the military has definitely got something underneath Denver Airport, and it's huge. And they built it just to go to the airport and see it is amazing. I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere. It has no reason to be there. It's almost comical that it's where it's at. And and there it sits, and you just see the Rocky Mountains right there, and what a great choice it is for a place to escape to, so everybody can get there no matter where they are, from Seattle or Florida or Maine or L.A., any place in the country. It's just about equal distance of flying. So you got about 2 or 3 hours to scoot to Denver and land and get in the train and go underground.
And it may be indeed the hub for the shadow government or for the second government in the event some catastrophe hits us.
Well, the CIA is moving to Denver, and I think they've already completed the move. So they've moved from Langley, so you can't say Langley anymore. They're going to have to rewrite all the CIA novels and change it to Denver now.
Because that's right.
Denver's a new place, and there are plans that I've actually seen that says that it is, because of the high altitude in the Rockies, et cetera, that it is the second capital. But how about this? What if it actually is Washington, D.C. will stay the capital of the United States?
For PR purposes, right?
No. But Denver is going to be the capital of the North American Union.
Uh-huh.
That's what's really going on. Yeah, and Denver's going to be, because it's right between the three countries, Mexico, Canada, and the United States. And so it's easy access, and that's what I think. I think it's actually going to be the capital of North America. And soon they're going to make it it's going to be an overarching government that controls basically the resources of the three countries. We all know this.
Almost like the chairman of the board overseeing a president of a company.
That's right. Exactly. A great analogy. And that's the plan. And the United States, in the discussions, I think they said, well, we get to choose the capital. And they chose Denver. And they chose Denver for a lot of reasons. They probably got to get seats on Noah's Ark there to the heads of Mexico and Canada. Who knows what kind of deals these guys are cutting behind the scenes. So, this is a very interesting turn of events, and the whole thing about Obama being against NAFTA when really he isn't, people are saying things, but they're not really going to do them. The thing is going to go on like it is. The United States is every intention of still becoming a great, huge, and world empire, and I don't think anyone can stop those wants and desires, and this is all part of it. And are there aliens down there? I don't know. Dave Icke says there are. I see no evidence of that. I just see evidence of an escape hatch for a catastrophe.
Is that smart business, having a backup plan?
I think they should. I think that they owe it to themselves and us to have a plan, to have thought it up, and to spend our taxpayer money. So I'm not actually against the COG or using it in any way, but I am wondering why there's these strange murals and the Freemasonic plaque and all these other things there, which kind of creates a strange aura about the Denver airport and gives it a sinister aspect, which feeds into these people who think that there's a satanic conspiracy.
What was the movie where Morgan Freeman was the president and an asteroid was coming this way?
Deep Impact.
Okay. And in that movie, he said, we have been constructing a place to take some of you. And remember, they had almost like that lottery raffle to get people to go in there. And they handpicked a few people. But they had a facility, much like Denver. This was into the mountains. Yep. And they put people away in the event of a catastrophe.
Sure.
And they had to be there for years or something like that.
Yeah, we're going to have to be down there for years if it's going to be a bad one, we have to understand that at this point, I think we're kind of not really going to have much control from the top. I think things are in a serious fall apart mode. It's an all fall down right now, and this is the problem that we face, and this is nothing spiritual. Thank God the Mayans and all the rest are there to tell us and warn us about this time. But, I'm not sure that escaping underground is even going to save you.
How did the Mayans know what to tell us, Jay? Let's talk about that when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we'll flip the switch and we'll take your phone calls with Jay Widener. We'll talk a little bit more about the Mayans, what's happening with the sun, where's all the sunspot activity, what does this mean? We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Jay, what do you think the Mayans knew, and how did they know it?
Yes, the $64 million question.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the Mayans were watching a cycle of the sun. I think that the sun goes through a cycle. I think it actually goes through a cycle with four phases. It's a 26,000-year-long cycle. There's a slam dunk on the 13,000 and on the 26,000 year seasons, and then there's two mid seasons at 6,500 years, and these are why the zodiac is marking the four fixed signs of the zodiac. These are the four signs that point to the four times when the thing happens with the sun, and you can see this in the geological records and things. There was something that really happened 13,000 years ago: gigantic solar flares that lit forest fires in the northern hemisphere, burning all of the forests in Canada and North America, half foot, a foot of ash found in some places, all over the place for hundreds of thousands of miles. Something incredible happened, and what's strange is this seems to be the precursor to an ice age event. So I can imagine that the soot from the burning forest fires lit by the solar flares threw so much dirt up into the air, dust up into the air, smoke into the air, that it started an ice age, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this may be happening right now. There's this very strange thing going on with the sun. I'm sure you know all about it. The heliosphere of the sun has virtually disappeared. And it's been gone for a while now, since, I think, May. And it's the longest period in recorded history, and they've been watching sunspots actually since Galileo. And this is the longest period, apparently, with the least amount of activity in recorded history. And this means that the electromagnetic field, which extends way out beyond the Earth, has collapsed and is now clinging to the skin of the sun. And this is very interesting because for the first time in recorded history, we're kind of left without the buffer that surrounds the Earth and protects us from intergalactic rays, synchrotron radiation, gamma rays, a whole plethora of things that are flying around in outer space, usually coming from the center of the galaxy, by the way. And so we're being hit, and astronomers are concerned about this. We're being hit, and we've been getting hit for a while now with a whole array of different kinds of radiation that are coming in without the sun's heliosphere electromagnetic buffer letting these things bounce off of it. So this may be what they're talking about. It may also be some kind of precursor to genetic mutation. Maybe every 13,000 years there's these gigantic solar flares that occur, and this causes right before the solar flares occur, the sun loses its electromagnetic field, letting in a lot of radiation into the Earth and causing mutations, et cetera, to occur. Then this is actually a precursor. It's like the global warming and the lack of sunspots are like a natural cycle going towards a gigantic period of solar flares. 2012 is solar maximum. It hasn't been a solar maximum since 1990. And 1990. And we're now going into the solar maximum soon here. But instead of the sun heating up and a lot of solar flares occurring early, like they should be, you would think, getting as we close into solar maximum, instead the sun has done the exact opposite. It's actually shut down. And this is why the north has been so cold this last, not just this year, but the year before. It was in, almost froze into the tip of southern Florida the other day. So there's something really odd going on with the weather, and this is a direct result of the sun. And the sun is now kind of shutting down, and I think we're getting going into a cold phase. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know exactly what is going on, but I suspect that it's being looked at very carefully by the powers that be who are trying to understand this. And they've looked into the ancient prophecies. They're Freemasons, and their own tradition warns of some kind of solar cycle And so I think they've been spending a lot of money for a couple hundred years looking into ancient things. I think NASA is all about, a lot of NASA is looking at the moon and other planets to see evidence of solar activity and different things going on. I think they found this cycle. We know about Paul LaViolette's work with ice core drilling.
Yep.
Where he finds the
brilliant work.
Yeah, every 26,000 years, there's this layer of interstellar dust that somehow gets in. And it's like, how did it get in? Well, the heliosphere disappeared, and is now allowing the dust to come into the Earth, into the atmosphere, and that's happening right now, I would think. So these things are all going on right now. It's just uncanny, and there's so much going on in this particular field that it's actually hard to keep up with it. All sorts of things are going on, and I would imagine that we're going to see the sun get very, very, very heated up in the next 2 years.
Well, and the fact that it is geared right to the 2012 end date for their calendar, you know, give or take, it's weird, isn't it?
It is weird, and the fact that the eclipse of the galaxy is at 11:11 in the morning is weird, and you know we looked forward and backwards to find if there was ever another alignment, you know, at 11:11, you know, on one of these significant dates, and this is the only one, you know. I don't even know what that means, except that hyperdimensionally it's significant. So I mean, it's a significant number, and so we look at all this stuff and we see it and we go, so what is going on here? And the thing is, what I think is going on is that we're seeing the shadows of this hyperdimensional world that sort of surrounds us. It's like we all have a higher dimensional body. It's like a donut, electromagnetic donut that goes around every human. And your health is determined by the coherency of this invisible field of light, I call it, that goes around the body and comes up through the spine. It's like a donut. It comes down through the top of your head and comes out through the bottom of the spine. And these things are all tuned to the Earth's electromagnetic field, and that's tuned to the sun's electromagnetic field. So we can see there's a direct physical relationship between our own bodies and the way that the sun and the Earth behave electromagnetically. And so I think we're being shaped somehow by all of this, and we're turning into something that we weren't before. And I think that they know this, that the psychic people know this, and the people in power who listen to the psychic people know this, and they don't know really what to do about it. And I think we're going to become hyper-aware very soon, the whole human race is. And it's being led by the Internet. What's interesting about the Internet is that the Internet doesn't choose by race, creed, color, you know, your sex or whatever, like the old ways used to be. It chooses you by your interests and by, you know, your intellect. And so very, very intellectual people are all reading the same sites now because they don't have a whole lot of time to comb through the web, and it's boiling down to, you know, maybe 100 sites that the very, very, very smartest people in the world are going to get their news and their information. And so they're forming these intellectual coalitions on the Earth right now that have never happened before. And the smartest people are beginning to figure out en masse that, you know, that we have been snookered. And they're not happy about it. And they know that revolution isn't the way out, but they're working, you know, and all of us are. That's what this really is. It's a gigantic global discussion about who we are going to become at the end of this thing. And now that the old ways are dying, the old world is disappearing, the virtual economies of futures markets and the destruction of predatory capitalism is at hand, I think we have to say, okay, what kind of future is it? And the answer is we want a liberated future, a future of freedom, and a future to choose what kind of health care we want, a future to choose what kind of life we want to live with, who we want to live with, And this is the choices that's coming down right now, and we're going to be spending a lot of time growing food, I think, in the future. I think
we're going to have any land to do that.
Well, that's really a great question. It's just in southern Florida, there's certainly no land there to grow food.
No.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think that I'm really worried about that, and I think we need to start coming up with ways for us to grow food, because we're one crisis away from literally starvation inside the central big cities of the United States. And when that happens, you know, then there's, I don't know what's going to happen. And then I'm really worried about that. And I think that we need to be looking at that and figuring out what we're going to do about that. And I the rumors I hear are that China is like going through some very serious problems right now. There's massive unemployment, factories shutting down. If you look at the Baltic Index on the internet, which is the shipping, the trade, the stock market of shipping, the Baltic Index was 17,000 a year ago, and right now it's less than 800. That means 17,000 ships were on the sea a year ago, delivering goods, commodities, sure, metals, foods.
All over the place.
Now, there's nothing going on hardly at all. That means a year from now, there's not going to be any cars being manufactured. Nobody's ordering metal. Nobody's ordering anything to make anything. And that means that there's not going to be anything to be made soon, which means that the economy, the economists use these things to determine, like Gerald Celente, they use these things to determine how the future is going to shape up. And it is very, very serious, and I entreat everyone to realize that there's something very, 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 very serious coming at us. It's already started, but this is the good part of it.
Maybe we need to start buying again, Jay.
No, I don't think we can buy our way out of this.
No,
we got into it by spending and overbuying, and unfortunately,
an easy buying.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the Obama administration so far is choosing to cure the spending problem by spending more, which is like trying to cure your heroin addiction by shooting up more heroin. It's not going to work. And a great austerity is going to come if we don't, if we face it now, it'll be an austerity. But if we don't face it and we put it off with more crazy borrowing in the future, we're going to face the great austerity. And I fear that, we're not going to be able to be prepared for that. And I think that's one of our jobs, all of us in the media and things, is to, help people to prepare for a life that maybe won't be quite the same as the life we're living now. But I'm telling you, it's going to be a better world. It is.
Eventually.
It is. It's going to be we're going to be more community oriented. We're going to be, our families are going to be still together. We're not going to be broken up and shattered across the United States like everything that's going on now. And we're going to care about each other, I think, in a lot more, a lot better ways. So, right now it's going to be chaotic and it's going to be really bad. But I think in the end, it's going to be a better world. And if we can, unlock the secrets of alchemy and higher dimensional sciences, we can provide free energy for people, and we don't have to worry about being strangled by foreign powers and oil prices and things like that. And that's another revolution that has to happen. People have to realize that with these free energy products and the higher dimensional knowledge, we have to put that out for free. We can't charge for it. We have to get this stuff out so that people have all of the information in front of them to be able to make the choices necessary. There's all sorts of incredible inventions going on right now. There's a tidal system that you can make for almost nothing that will provide whole cities with megawatts of power. And so, we're just not thinking right. We're the most incredible species that's ever been on planet Earth, as far as we know. And our imagination is unlimited. We just have to use that imagination and think our way out of this. Otherwise, we're going to fall prey to a world that none of us are going to want to live in. None of us. Rich, poor, none of us. And that's what I fear.
You've done a lot of work in an uncanny interest in alchemy, ancient alchemy. How come?
I guess I'm interested in how the ancients seem to know what they knew. That's how I got interested in it. And by that I had to understand their language, and their language was symbols. And like William Henry and a lot of other people, once you unlock these symbols, it opens up a world, and it's a holistic approach to the world. It isn't, science breaks everything down into little bits and pieces and then looks at it and says, oh, this thing must be comprised of this. But alchemy doesn't do that. Alchemy looks up into spirit and tries to find the things that unite matter. And when you do that, you discover that there's these dimensions and higher dimensions, and there's beings, and there is no death. And it's an incredibly holistic, wonderful way to look at the world, and as opposed to modern science, which I love. I love science, but science is limited by the fact that all it can examine is the material world and denies that there is an extra-dimensional world. But with quantum physics, that barrier is finally beginning to break down, and they're beginning to realize that the world is as we think it. And when we understand that the world is as we think it, then we can make 2012 or 2013 or whatever year, 2020, anything we want it to be. And if we don't allow ourselves to be controlled by people who may not have our, you know, our better interests at heart. And so we need to reject what we hear, and we need to make up our own minds. We need to open up our minds to new possibilities. We need to listen to people like David Icke and listen to shows like this, and realize that we're now heading in to a time period where anything can happen, and we need to be very, very careful.
I'm ready for it. Are you?
I am. I think it's the greatest thing ever, and I think this is finally our chance to reshape things. You know, George, we were never in control. So what are we worried about if things are going out of control? You know, I mean, it's not like you and I were running the universe or anything. So it's like, okay, well, you know, when things are going to go out of control, maybe that's a great time to remake it and redo it. And so, you know, I'm optimistic, and I think we can do it. I think we can pull through it, but I don't want to fool anybody and tell them that it's not going to be, that it's going to be easy. And I want the kids and the young people to come along and to know that us of the older generation are not going to abandon you. We're going to give you advice and try to help you get through it, because you're going to have to spend most of your life in whatever world this is going to be, not us. So that's another thing that we need to do. The boomer generation needs to rise up and take some responsibility for itself, responsibility that it hasn't really taken, I don't think, in a lot of ways, and to become the elders that we never had, and to start helping these kids, help them out, and help them to understand there's a much better and vaster universe than they've been told, and there's many ways out of a problem, and that the human mind is the greatest alchemical instrument in the entire universe, and it can outthink anything. So this is what we have to do, and it's a huge task, and it's up to all of us to get, you know, do this. And we're working on a project called Future Shift, which is dealing with all of this. It's a book and a film and a festival, and I'd love to get you involved, George, in this, because it's about getting and trying to get to the kids and the younger people and getting the word to them on what an amazing world it is, you know?
Absolutely, because all they get right now, Jay, they're bombarded with all these tragedies and catastrophes.
That's right.
They need some hope.
They do, and nobody's offering it, and that's what I'm trying to do with this Future Shift thing. It's like, let's take the future and let's just make it ourselves, and we'll just kind of do an end run. You know, in football, you know, and you're playing a team that's bigger than you, you don't go right up next to them and try to go through them. You go around them, and the team that we're facing is much bigger and stronger than we are, so it's time for some very deft end runs, you know, and that's what I'm trying to do with this whole thing with Future Shift in 2012 and Sacred Mysteries, is try to do an end run around it, try to show people there's a positive way out, that there's many things that you can do proactively for your health and for your spiritual health and to survive and have people around you that you love in a future world that we can remake and not deal with the terror of this world.
Well, Jay, you've given us two marvelous hours. Let's take one more from you and have phone calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM.